When you have people, they really do. It's time to celebrate. And can I just be real with y'all? What I think about Christians in America, I think we suck at celebrating. Because we're so dry and crusty and so religious, and so this is the way we've always done it, and we're afraid to get excited about the Lord. And I'm just thinking, my God, what in the world? How do we get so excited over a football game or a rodeo, but sit quietly about our eternal salvation? Even the mildest and the meekest of all ought to get a little bit excited when you know that Jesus has saved you and healed you and picked you up out of the... Oh, I'm already preaching to y'all today. Y'all better get woke up. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better get woke up today. So, welcome you. Our theme at Bethel for the last couple of years has been this: I dare you. I dare you. How many of you played that game when you were a kid sometimes? You were trying to get somebody to do something. I dare you. Well, I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you with whipped cream and a cherry on top. I dare you. And something about us would just, we couldn't stand it when somebody dared us. We would do things that we normally wouldn't do. And so that's been our desire. That's been our theme at Bethel over the last couple of years is I dare you. I dare you to let your Christianity go beyond Sunday morning. I dare you to go after the things of God the way you go after the almighty dollar. I dare you to lay everything out. I dare you to seek the Spirit of God. I dare you to seek the calling of God that is on your life. I dare you to say, this is the gift that God has given me, and now I'm going to use this gift to bring glory to his name. I dare you to go against the norm. I dare you to go against what culture says. I dare you to go after the things of God. And so today, we're here to celebrate some folk that say, you know what? You dared me? I accepted Christ. And now I'm going under the waters of baptism. We're going to celebrate today. And so today, we're going to discuss this moment in Scripture. This moment in the New Testament. This moment where I believe it's the greatest picture of our God ever. I want to take a moment and just talk a little bit of theology with you and help you to understand that our God, the God of the Bible, he is a Trinitarian God. And simply what that means, it is three parts but one God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can read in the book of Genesis from the beginning of time, and when God created everything, he said, let us make man in our own image. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's us. And so this picture today is wrapped all around the topic of baptism. Here is a moment in Scripture when we can see all three parts of our God manifest themselves. I think it is so cool. The Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. This tells the story of when Jesus himself was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Father, we just ask you to speak to us today. We ask for your anointing to be in this place, that your Spirit would anoint me to speak your words, that your Spirit would open hearts, would open ears, make us receptive today. Lord, challenge us about being baptized. Challenge us about how important our baptism was. We just ask you to speak to us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I love the fact that Jesus had gone out to the Jordan River, that region out there where John the Baptist was baptizing people. I just have this image in my mind. I love John the Baptist. And if you mean he was a homespun, homeschool boy from the backwoods, baby. He was eating organic meals when organic meals weren't cool. Come on, somebody. He ate locusts and wild honey. He wore camel hair. He wore leather. He didn't look like the pretty little prophets of the day. He was coming from the country, man. He was baptizing them out there. And you know what I love about the way he baptized them? He didn't go, oh, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know what he said to them? Read the Word of God. He said, you need to repent, you brood of vipers. And he baptized them. I can just see John the Baptist going, boy, nah, you didn't get enough. Let me give you one more. He was baptizing them. And so having the people are everywhere, just like nowadays, baptisms brought everybody together. And one particular day, Jesus himself goes out to the Jordan River to be baptized himself. I just can see in my mind as Jesus walks up over the banks of the Jordan River and John looks up and John announces to everybody, behold, y'all, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John said, this is the one that the prophets have been prophesying about. This is the promised Messiah. This is the only begotten of God. John announces to everybody who Jesus is. And Jesus precedes himself, the Son of God, who took upon flesh and came and dwelt upon this earth. Jesus himself walked out into the cold, muddy waters of the Jordan River, and John the Baptist baptized him that day. I think about that. Here's what we're not going to talk about water, because the scripture says that when he came up out of the water, when he came up out of the water, and here's this epic moment. When Jesus, the Son of God, goes under the waters of baptism, when he comes up, heaven is opened up like this. And the Spirit of God, in the form of a dove, comes down and lights on his shoulder. And then this voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It is the only picture in the New Testament where all three parts of our God are present in one place. What a special moment. That should signify to us how special baptisms are, because all parts of God show up right there. What an epic moment. What a special moment. What a memorable moment. Now, I want to say this today, talk about it a little bit, because we love baptisms and we celebrate baptisms, but I'll tell you what we do not believe here at Bethel. We do not believe that water baptism is essential for our salvation. We do not believe that water baptism is essential for our salvation, for our forgiveness of sins. We believe there is one thing that is essential for the forgiveness of sin and for our eternal life, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And we get this mixed up. If water baptism could save us, then Jesus died in vain. Water baptism could not save us. Only the blood of Christ. God gave us his only begotten Son so that we could be forgiven. And then God gives you and I the gift of baptism, where we can have this memorable time, this sacred moment where we go, I went under the water of baptism and the old man was dead and I was raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is so beautiful. But here's the deal. If it pleased God the Father for his only begotten Son to go under the waters of baptism, then it pleases him when we go under the waters of baptism. This is my beloved Son. I really believe with all of my heart that my God is still alive and my God is still on the throne and my God's eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on you and I today. And I believe that we're going to celebrate baptism. And when some of these young men and women come up out of the water, God the Father is saying, that's my child and I am well pleased with them. Here's another question we have when it comes to baptism. Should we sprinkle them, dunk them, spray them, or spit on them? What is it? What works? What's the one? What do we need to do? You see, here's the deal. Here's what the enemy does. How many know? A house divided against itself shall not be able to stand. And so the enemy has come against the Christian church. And they got this group over here that says you got to do it this way. And this group says you got to sprinkle them. And this person says it's necessary for his salvation. And this one says it doesn't matter. And we as the Christians are divided over a gift that God has given to us. What is it? Do we bring? You know, I just say this. I really don't think it matters, because God only that brings eternal salvation to us. So here's the deal. Baptism can divide us, and we can argue and fuss over it. But you know what else baptism does? It unifies us. Because I'm looking across the crowd today, and some of you Church of Christ folk down here in the old Assembly of God church today. And some of you Baptist folk over here in the old Assembly of God church today. Some of you Sprinkling Methodists are here today to celebrate a dunking too. Come on, somebody. I see you, because here's what it does. The enemy has taken it and caused us to be divided and fight. But you know what? Have a good old-fashioned baptism service. And you'll go, I don't care what denomination I'm from, and I don't care what my mom and daddy said. Somebody that I love is celebrating their salvation, and I'll show up over and listen to that handsome, wild, loud, crazy preacher preach, because I want to celebrate a baptism. Special moment, special sacred moments. I just share a little bit of the sacred moments about baptism with you. I remember when I got baptized. I remember, boy, the Lord was moving on my heart. See, back in the day, you couldn't get baptized unless you walked the aisle in front of everybody. You know what I'm talking about? I know you Baptist folk know what I'm talking about. And I told my mom, I said, I'm ready to get saved. I said, you know what? Can I walk to the front on a Wednesday night? There's less people there on Wednesday night. I walked to the front on Wednesday night and, you know, did the deal. They led me into sinner's prayer, and then it come time for the baptism. I couldn't wait, man. Here we go, and I'm going to show up. The preacher said, y'all need to come down early on baptism. Back then was on Sunday night. Y'all remember them? And so we showed up early at the church, and the preacher, we meet in his office, and he tells us how we're going to do it. He said, let's go look at the baptistry. So we go look at the baptistry, and it is empty. There's no water. They have a fancy system, you know, where you punch a button and it heats the water and it puts it in. It's supposed to be filling up all day long. It takes 5 or 6 hours, and we get there an hour before my baptism, and there ain't no water in the trough. So it was at Wiley Baptist Church. They're a little bit swank, but you know what? All of us got a little redneck in us once in a while. So they had put in a new fire station just up the road on Buffalo Gap Road. So my preacher gets on the phone, calls the fire station. They come down, and they run a hose through the wall up like this over into baptistry, and they filled it up with firefighting water. Can I tell you, that ain't the most sanitary water there ever was, y'all. And it was in November, y'all. It was a little chilly. And I'm going to tell you, that water was dirty, and it had some squigglies and all that crap stuff in it. And we had them white robes, y'all know what I'm talking about? With a little weight at the bottom where it would sink when you get in there. And I'm telling you, when I stepped, me and I'm telling you, and that water was filthy dirty, but I'm going to tell you something. When I came up out of that water, I was as warm as I could be, and there wasn't a dirty feeling on my body. I felt cleansed, and I felt new, and I felt refreshed that night after I go under the waters of baptism. My grandmother and granddaddy, I'm going to tell you how much I remember it. My grandmother and granddaddy, I rode to church with them that night. My granddaddy, you know what he told me? He said, Pard, that was my nickname. He said, Pard, when you get through getting baptized, I'll take you to town tonight, and we'll take you to Baskin Robbins. You can get whatever you want. I'll tell you what I got. Hot fudge sundae with your mocha almond fudge ice cream, y'all. We come out of that car. My grandparents had a 1978 Chevrolet Caprice Classic car. Long, silver, electric windows and locks with an 8-track player in it. Come on, somebody. With a cruise control. We walked out of the church that night to get in that thing to head to Baskin Robbins. And I told my granddaddy, I said, Granddaddy, the stars look brighter tonight to me. It was a special moment that I will never forget. Can I tell you about another special moment? Baptizing these knuckleheads of mine. There ain't nothing better, man. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you grow up. Can I just be real with y'all? You're a preacher your whole life, and all you hear is this stigma of preacher's kids. Come on, somebody. Can I just say this? To speak that curse over a preacher's child, you ought to be castrated. Let me just say that. Can I? Because that's bullcorn, because preacher's kids can learn to love the Lord. And I'm not saying that they're perfect, and sometimes they make mistakes, but they can be raised up to be young men and women of God from a very young age. And I remember when they accepted Christ and when we baptized them under the waters, just this moment that melts a mom and a dad's heart for me and Jennifer. I remember another baptism back at the old church when we were down there. I'll never forget this old man named Dick Harper got saved one night. Let me just tell you this story. Never, ever quit praying for your loved ones that are lost or that are far from God. Dick Harper was an old cowboy, and he worked at the Wagner Ranch years ago. He was the wagon boss at the 4-6s, and I mean, he was rot. He was rank, boy. He was rotten. He was a beer drinker, whiskey drinking, woman chasing outlaw. And his daughter was about 65 years old, and her husband started coming to church at Bethel. And every time we took prayer requests, we did it back in the old days. They'd raise their hand in the audience. We'd write down prayer requests. She'd say, pray for my daddy to get saved. Pray for my daddy to get saved. There was a piece of paper at the front of the door. She'd write Dick Harper down, Dick Harper down. And one night, guess what? One night, Dick Harper showed up at church with his daughter and son-in-law. We didn't think nothing about it, and I preached that night, and when it come time for the altar call, old Dick Harper, I think he was 81, I'm not positive, I think he was 81, got up and come walk the aisle, and his daughter, I never forget, she came behind him. She was like 65, and you know what he did? He gave his life to Jesus Christ that night, and I will never forget the joy on his daughter's face when she heard her daddy accept Jesus Christ. She turned to the congregation, and she said, my daddy finally got saved! And we barely get him up in there. God him in the water. He said, run me through that dipping vat, preacher. Wash me good. I got a lot of crap to wash off. Such a powerful 81 years old. That same night that we baptized that 81-year-old, We baptized a young cowboy, and if I said his name, you would know his name. I'm talking about big old stout, strapping, rawhide and whalebone, tough cowboy. Man, wouldn't have nothing to do with the Lord, but the Lord moved on his heart. I watched that sucker raise his hands, worship God, and big tears roll down his face. And he got in that water and baptized that young man. Never forget that night. We had a six-year-old girl that we baptized too. Her mom and daddy came to me, and they go, "Oh, she's 6 years old, man. She wants to get baptized. What do we do?" I said, "You baptize her then. You talk to her about the Lord. You make sure she understands what it is. Who are we to say that the Spirit of God can't move on a young person's heart?" Jesus said, if you don't inherit the kingdom like the faith of a child, you can't come in. And we baptized the six-year-old that night. Special moments of baptism. Let me give you some scripture about baptism and its symbolism. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3 through 6. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." That's what baptism signifies. Y'all remember the story, they took Jesus. He lived 33 years. He lived a sinless life, and they lied on him, and they falsely accused him, and they arrested him, and they made him carry his own cross up the top of Calvary Hill, and they stretched him wide, and they hung him high, and he died on the cross. They took him down. He was a dead man. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. They took him off as a dead man, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and they put a stone in front of it and sealed it. But something was happening on the inside that we couldn't see on the outside. And at the appointed place and the appointed time on the third day, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit behind closed doors, woke Jesus up, raised him. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus came out of that grave different than he went into the grave. He went in the grave, the lamb that was slain, but he came out the lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything. And that's what this means when we send the symbolism of baptism. We're going under a water grave. And the things that we've repented of and the person that we used to be underneath the water is dead, and the Spirit of God is moving. And when you're raised up, you are walking in newness of life. You're coming out of the waters different than you went into them. What a great moment to celebrate. We at Bethel, we love baptisms. This is the way everyone sat and they watched us be baptized. I think about six of them. There was about 50 there that night. I think six of them might have cracked a grin and kind of smiled a little bit because somebody got baptized. So, so serious. And that's fine if that's the kind of church you go to. We'll pray for you. But because we like to celebrate. We like to celebrate at Bethel. And let me give you some more scripture. Luke, where are we at? Luke 15:10. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Count on it. Count on it. Count on it. This celebration in heaven, y'all. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing. When somebody really gets saved, they celebrate the way Dick Harper's young daughter celebrated. They shout, and they don't care who's looking around. And we believe that that's what we want to do, that this is going to be a sacred moment for these people. And we don't want it to be a dry. We want them to know that heaven is cheering them on, but we want them to know that you and I, we're cheering them on too. And we're believing God for great and mighty things, and we're believing for God to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what's going on in their minds. Let me give you one more. Uh-oh. Zeph, you ain't getting dunked just yet, son. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Celebration in heaven, and there's going to be celebration in here today. Conrad, you guys come help me close. Here's what I want us to do. Those of you that are fixing to get baptized, Miss Gigi, right there. She's fixing to walk right there. So I want you to go with your mom or dad or whoever's with you and meet Gigi right there, and you guys can go on back and start getting changed right now. But for the rest of you, I want to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I want to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. And I just want to ask, I want to ask the Spirit of God to move in this place. Holy Spirit, just begin to move right now. Tear the roof up of this place. Let God know that He's worthy. Let God know that we bless your name. Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. You are worthy. Jesus, King of all kings. Jesus, Lord of all lords. Come on, y'all, worship like you love the Lord.